Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, policing the paranormal. Not every call involves a crime or a criminal. Sometimes it's the paranormal.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And if you want access to our archive of episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, we certainly have that for you on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or our website, ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up and get access to all of that. Even try it for 3 days free right now on Apple Podcasts. Sign up for monthly or yearly. Save a whole bunch there. And you can binge away on all of our episodes in advance of their release. No commercials and the archive of 10 years of ghost stories. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. Happy 2024. I know we've had episodes that have aired in 24, but this is the first one that we are recording in 24. Interesting.
I know. It seems weird when you say 2024. Because remember way back when people wrote checks, and some people don't even remember that it would take you like...
My mom still does.
2 months. She does. I had to submit a check for something, and I needed a check, and it took me forever.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know I got checks in, and then I found one from like 3 addresses ago. Mm-hmm. I had one check in a book. But yeah. It would take like 2 months to remember to write the new year. Now it seems like it takes a lot longer to remember it's the new year because I don't have to write it down ever.
Yeah, I do that now. There's been times where I'm like, what year is it? Is it 22, 23, 24? That does happen.
Check writing kind of helped.
It did. It kept you on track. It was an exercise that you had to do. Now it's just everything's there, auto-filled for you, and you're all good.
But I saw somebody at the Walmart the other day. I was walking past, I had checked out, and that person was writing a check. And I did a double take. I'm like, I can't believe that people still write checks at Walmart.
Do they accept them?
I don't know. I didn't stick around for the follow-up, but he was writing it as I walked by.
Because it feels like in so many places, it's like we do not accept checks. And for good reason. I mean, the world, people were writing so many bad checks left and right, and there wasn't the ways of auto-confirming them that there are today. But that's how you used to do. I mean, I used to always use my checkbook. I would always be like, go to a restaurant, you write a check for dinner, and you put it in the little thing. And now it's, I use my card.
So far back when you'd write the check going, okay, I get paid on Friday and it's Wednesday night. It's not going to make it into my account. I'll be good.
Uh-huh.
And you would think of it like that. Yeah. You kind of float a check. You don't get to do that shit anymore.
No, it's all instant. My mom still balances her checkbook. So like literally.
That's adorable.
I know. Like if she'll like send like a gift, like a check for Harper's birthday or something. I usually just take it and then give Harper cash or because Harper runs digitally as well too. She has a service that it's a debit card and it's all digital. And then I'll just, you know, give her the money that way. And then I'll cash the check. I forget to cash the checks half the time.
And then your mom's like, Tony,
you need to cash that check. It's not balancing right for me.
It's messy. You are messing her up.
It's like, it's all digital, Mom. Like I prefer it this way.
Can you Venmo her some money?
Oh, I've tried that. There's been times where it's like they're going out for dinner or something and it's like an anniversary or whatever. And I'm like, hey, let me buy you dinner. Like, can I just Venmo you? Like what, you know, whatever it is. Oh, we don't use any of that. So it's like, I have to call the restaurant. Like, can I buy a gift card that they can pick up when they arrive? And then they do that. And it's just like, Jesus. PayPal? No.
I like the way you did that. That was a good workaround.
Don't use PayPal. Don't use like I just don't trust it. Yeah, because writing down your full account number on a piece of paper and handing it to a 16-year-old questionable-looking individual that really wants to go get some drugs, that sounds like a safer alternative. It's just, what the fuck?
Here, but, clean me out.
Oh, my God. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's get our first caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story. As soon as the computer would like to start playing the actual phone call. Oh, here we go. It's on mute. Let's unmute that. There we go. Stand by. Ta-da.
Hi, it's Matt again from Oklahoma City. When I was very new on the job, I got a call to a woman's house in the middle of the night, and she lived there alone. She was single, and she was complaining about hearing footsteps in her attic, and she lived in a ranch-style house. And so I ended up checking the attic, and I was kind of confused by that because she said she heard someone walking through the attic. And in Oklahoma, it's pretty common for single-story houses to have an attic, but it's basically just joists and insulation up in the attic. So if you don't watch where you're going, you step somewhere other than on one of the joists, you'll go right through the ceiling. And that was, most of them will have a small section that's boarded up. It's either got boards on it or plywood or something where you can walk a little bit and store things. But the rest of it's usually nothing but joists with sheetrock underneath. And hers was almost completely that way. It was nothing but insulation and sheetrock. So really there was no possible way for someone to walk across the attic, especially since the roof was low enough that it would be pretty difficult for someone to walk across that because you could not stand up and walk. And when you do this job after a while, obviously we're not doctors, but you get exposed to a lot of schizophrenics and other types of mental patients, and you usually kind of develop a pretty good barometer for detecting when you're dealing with someone who's suffering from a mental illness. And I didn't get that read off of this woman at all, not whatsoever. So we kind of had a small talk about it. I explained to her the way that the attic was structured. I didn't see that it was possible for someone to walk across that attic, which apparently scared her even more. And she literally asked me if I thought it could be something paranormal, and I made it clear to her that I was not. I'm skeptical to some extent when people tell me things, but I'm definitely a believer in the paranormal. I don't think that made her feel any more comfortable. And another story I want to tell is something that happened to another coworker. I wasn't there. I wasn't present. I know this guy pretty well. I've known him for over 20 years. And I don't think that he would be dishonest about something like this. At any rate, he and another officer had responded to a call late at night in a shopping center. And, I mean, I'm going to guess it was probably an alarm or something like that. And they had cleared off the call they were handling, and he told me personally that some movement caught his peripheral vision, and he saw what he described as a pair of legs walking across part of the parking lot. And he said was kind of dismayed by what he saw, so he drove closer and went to that spot where he saw the legs, and they had just simply disappeared, and there was nothing and no one there. He checked the area pretty well, and this guy is a pretty tough guy. He actually trains SWAT operators and SWAT teams. And the look he had in his eyes when he was telling me the story, he almost looked like he was going to tear up. So I definitely found his story credible. And then several years later, two different officers, one of which I'm pretty sure wasn't even on the job when the pair of legs was spotted, they were sitting a good distance across from the spot where he had seen the legs in an adjacent property, and both of them saw what they described as a ghost walking through the parking lot as a full apparition, and they immediately drove to the spot without taking their eyes off the location and didn't find anything or anyone there when they checked it. Now, one of those two officers related another story to me. They received a call from a parent who said that they had found out that their teen was at a drinking party, underage drinking party, went to the house, retrieved their teen. The teen was intoxicated and I guess sick. Parent was upset, and they called the station to let them know about this party. And then they said that they had another parent notify them that he had gone to the same party and broken it up and called parents to come get their teens as well. So they responded to the house, and they thought that the house was empty, and they rang the doorbell, knocked on the door, tried to make contact. And they said at some point they saw a person look out the second floor window down at them. So at that point they thought there were possibly some more kids in the house. So they had dispatch call the owners based on the phone contacts that they had in previous reports or possibly even alarm permits. I don't recall. And the owners were out of town. They were able to contact them on their cell phone. The owners told them that there should be no one in the house, and they were upset. And to the extent that they said that they were going to open their overhead garage door remotely using an app, and that they requested the officers to go inside the house and remove whoever was in the house, because they didn't have permission to be there. So they gave the officers the alarm code. They remotely opened the overhead door, and they went inside and cleared the entire house. And there wasn't anyone in the house.
That's where the call ends. So it's like the house party that never was.
Isn't that crazy? I always like Matt's phone calls. I always think they're really interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to a guy recently on an episode of the Grave Talks mm-hmm. who was a police officer for years in England.
Yeah.
And he's now studying to get his PhD in parapsychology, which I think is real interesting to make that kind of leap in your life. And I said, was there ever a time as a police officer and your interest in the paranormal kind of intersected? And he gave me some examples. Because when you think about it, you know, like the first story Matt shared with the woman hearing something in her attic walking, and he goes to investigate, there's no possible way anybody could be walking up there.
Yeah.
So either you're dealing with somebody with mental health issues mm-hmm. or it's paranormal issues, it would be sometimes really hard to say which is which. And well, in this case, he was like, she seemed perfectly normal.
It would be hard to know without knowing more of the context of the individual that you're visiting. And unless you knew them and you knew their history and their track record and all that, and go, this is a totally normal person. Like, this is so out of the ordinary for them to make a claim like this. But then you do have, you know, certainly mental health issues that go on that you kind of have to make a snap judgment on of, like, is this mental health problem that's we're experiencing here that's making it appear paranormal, you know, or is there actually something going on? And that would be a difficult call to make sometimes, I think.
Or the officer that saw like half of a body, like waist down, just walking. Like,
what? Yeah, I think there's a lot of weird things that individuals experience.
As a cop, you'd be walking into places all the time that are unfamiliar to you, and you're put into situations and places.
Yeah.
That I think you could be exposed to the paranormal all the time.
Yeah. No, I
and crazy people.
I agree. I agree. Thank you for sharing that story, Matt. We do appreciate your phone calls. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to all of our episodes with no commercials, become a premium subscriber, sign up through Apple Podcasts, and then go to our premium channel there to binge away in all those episodes as we get them out to you in advance of everyone and get the full archive of episodes all ad-free. Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories if you're not on Apple. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.